take your Bibles, if you would please, for one more time. This will be the fifth time. Back to Matthew chapter 14 tonight. So we finish our little mini series that we have been looking at as we have been invited to go for a walk. A walk that is a supernatural walk. A walk that is a walk of faith, a walk on the Word of God. A walk that I hope and pray will become part of your life. A walk that will enhance and encourage us as we learn to trust the Lord. That becomes a normal part of our Christian life. We have spent time looking at the reasons why somebody would walk on the water. We looked at the realities of what it is like to walk on the water. We talked about the resolve that it is to walk on the water. This morning, we talked about the rules that are enforced when you walk on the water. And tonight, I just want to finish with what Tricia has already alluded to, the rewards for walking on the water. And I think we heard a wonderful and powerful testimony from her to encourage us that it is rewarding to trust the Lord. It's thrilling to trust the Lord. And I have never met anybody that trusted the Lord and found him to be unfaithful. I've never met anybody that's ever trusted the Lord where they've stepped out in faith and regretted it. I don't promise you an easy time. I don't promise you complete success on your part. I don't promise you that you won't have moments where you'll fall down or struggle a little bit. But I do promise you that when you get to Jesus, it'll be worth the walk. It'll be worth the walk. And so I thought I would give you four rewards tonight for walking on the water. And I want you to write them down in your memory, if nothing else. Verse number 29, it seems like we get to 29 and 30 a lot in this text. It says, "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship," I don't know, in my mind, I've always just pictured a little boat, but the Bible uses the word ship. There's a difference between a ship and a boat. You kind of step out of a boat. Peter had to walk down the ship and go onto the water. And I was likening that in our message tonight to my first reward that I'm instructed here for walking on the water is that I get to leave the boat. Write it down. I get to leave the boat. For our purposes and illustration, as I've been preaching to you, the boat has been a picture of mediocrity. It's been a picture of sameness. It's been a picture of maybe boredom. It's been a picture of stationary in my life. It's been a picture of routine. It's been a picture of a lot of things that Christians go through. And one of the rewards for walking on the water, stepping out and trusting the Lord, is I get to leave that position in my life. And I talked to you about this morning. Because you have some people that are they're frustrated with themselves in the boat, or they're frustrated with God in the boat. And I'm either frustrated with myself in the boat because I'm sick and tired of being a spiritual coward. And I'm sick and tired of always not stepping out and not being all in and being hesitant or not doing what I believe God wants me to do. And I have found that honest Christian people who battle with fear, It's not that they're mad at God. They're kind of upset at themselves. And they're upset at themselves that they're in this prison of fear. And in such a bondage is this prison of fear that it keeps them from following what the Lord wants them to do. And I love the moment in people's lives when they do come down out of the ship and they step on the water and they walk on that water. And eventually when they get to Jesus, they look back and they say something like, "What was I ever afraid of?" Or they say something like, "Why didn't I do this earlier? Pastor, I look back now and I think I would never want my life to be any different than it is once I have arrived where the Lord. What in the world was I thinking?" And in my mind, I'm thinking, "I told you so." Not necessarily. One of the great rewards is you get out of that ship and you begin to walk by faith, trusting the Lord. It's thrilling and it's exciting. And I want to use this example to make this point. Only one guy came down out of the ship. At a minimum, there are 12 there in that boat, right? But one individual stepped down. And I want to take that thought of individual and make an application here. See, God has an individual plan for you. You got to believe that. Your plan is not my plan. My plan was not Trish's plan. And her plan's not Malcolm's plan. But God's got a plan for our life. And there will be moments within that plan that God will come to us and God will call us to step out. And when God is calling you to step out, He's calling you to that, to an individual position, in a way that He's going to expose your individuality. I mean, He created you. We believe that, right? He saved you. He redeemed you. He gifted you. And so it's not like God's totally concerned with everybody else and forgot you. Sometimes we think, well, of course God pays attention to the pastor. Of course God pays attention to Brother Nick now that he's going to be a missionary. But does God pay attention to me? Listen, never are you not on the heart and mind of God. He's totally concentrated on you. We love concentrated attention. The thing about God is you and I can only concentrate on one thing at a time. At least that's what my wife tells me about. But God can concentrate on everybody at the same level. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. And so one of the great rewards for walking on the water is I get to leave that ship. And so where some are mad at themselves because they don't have enough courage, then sometimes others are in the boat and they're upset at the Lord because He's calling them out of the boat. And it's not where they're mad at themselves for a lack of faith and upset at their fear. They're upset because God's calling them to make this move or to step out here. But what they don't realize is everybody in that boat was probably able to come. Everybody in that boat could have had the same invitation, but one individual did it. So God will come to you individually and present His plan for you. So He can come inside this church, which is numerous people. And He has a plan for you. And He'll make it known to you. God's plan for them is to go to Japan. That's not best plan. Best plan, Cassin's plan, is tomorrow's to go to work and serve the Lord. But God does have an individual plan. And as much as they stepped out on that, we have to be responsible to step on it. And one of the great rewards of walking on the water is that I get to leave that dumb boat. Amen. By the way, would you say it was rewarding? I would say so. Number two, He came down out of the ship and He walked on the water to go where? To go to Jesus. One of the rewards of walking on the water is that you get to go to Jesus. Now, I know in some way the presence of the Lord Jesus is always within us. He's always within us in His Spirit. But what a joy it is to be able to go to where He is, to what He is doing, and in an essence here that I sense that I'm following the plan that he has for my life. There's no greater security than to know that I'm following the plan that God has for me. And so one of the rewards for walking on the water is this is where Jesus is. This is where the action is. This is where he's guiding me. This is where he is calling me. It's not just a walk on my whim. It's not just a walk in the darkness. And I did not make this point at 11 o'clock, and I believe I got to make it tonight. There is a end game to the walk that God calls you to. It's not necessarily where it's just an endless path. In essence, yes, we're always to walk where God calls us to do. But there will be times where Jesus will say, I need you to come here. I have it in your plan, in your life, individually, that I'm working here. And I want you, Tom, to join me where I am working. It's what she said. I felt like God was working in my life even before I knew him. I felt like God was preparing in my life even before I was saved. Then I got saved, and God's inviting me to join on his plan, but I tried to make my own plan, and when I tried to make my own plan, I was empty. Right? So here's the Lord calling her, step out on the water, and come over here to where I am. Because where I am, you will be happy. You'll be content. You'll be satisfied. You'll be secure. You'll know that I'm following what the Lord has for me. Reward number one, I get to leave the boat. Reward number two, I get to go to Jesus. Reward number three, I get to walk with Jesus. And this is powerful here, because you see, after he began to sink, it says that they came back and they were come into the ship. And so in some essence, Peter got to walk with the Lord. It's one thing to get to Jesus. It's another thing to be able to walk with him in our lives. It's another thing to know that I'm with him. He's with me, and we're working together, and we're walking together, and it's a vibrant walk. It's a walk of faith. It's a miraculous walk, and really and truthfully, he's a tremendous walking partner. Sometimes I fall down. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I sink. Sometimes that I have difficulty, but the Lord is patient with me. I just want to ask you a question. Do you feel in your Christian life right now that you're walking with the Lord? In the text of the message, I can't walk with him until I get to him. And I can't get to him until I get out of the boat. So, Tom, I want you to join me here. I don't know that I like that, Lord. I'm comfortable here. I don't really care about your comfortability right now, Tom. This is how the Lord talks to me. I want you to come out here. Lord, it's kind of wavy. I understand. But I'm telling you, I want you to join me. I don't know, Lord. I don't know how this. I know the unknown, but you cannot let the unknown keep you there. Now, I've identified myself. I've given you a word, and I've given you permission. I've given you a promise. I want you to join me. It's one thing to step out and join the Lord. It's another thing now to have the wonderful privilege to know that I walk with him, and he walks with me. And all of a sudden, it's not just life. It's not just routine. It's not just work. It's not just live my 80 years and die. I walk with him. And he walks pretty excitingly. And I get to see the Lord do certain things. I get to see the Lord touch deaf ears and they hear. I get to see the Lord change lives. I get to see the Lord meet needs. I get to talk with him as we walk. I get to experience his presence. I don't ever feel lonely, or I don't ever feel unsafe. I don't ever feel lost. I don't ever feel like I've got to decide, what am I going to do today? He takes all those decisions. And then I just walk with him. Lord, as you lead me, we're going to do this. As you guide me. What a joy it is to be able to walk with Jesus in our lives. And so I'm asking you that question. Do you feel like when you go to work tomorrow that you're walking with Jesus? That you're fulfilling what he has called you to do? That there's a partnership there? That I have purpose there? In order to walk with him, I've got to get to him. It's a tremendous reward to know that I know that I know that I'm walking in the light of what he has called me to do. I have no doubt that I'm to be a pastor, because God called me. She has no doubt that she's to be a mother, because God called her. You should have no doubt that you're doing what you're doing, and because you've stepped out to what God has called you to, and then there's that consistent walk with him. Now, I got great news for you. You may begin to sink, but Jesus will never begin to sink. Right? And the more that I walk with him and the closer I am with him, the more I become like him. The more I think like him, the more I see like him, the more I trust him, the more that the waves blow, I'm like, you think that's a wave? You should have been with us last week. You think that's a problem? Let me tell you about a problem I incurred 3 months ago. You think that's going to take us down? You should have seen what he did last month. By the way, what he did last month, he can do today. It's walking with the Lord, man. Number four. You get to worship the Lord. Look at verse 32. It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art, say it, class, the Son of God. You know, it's one thing to worship the Lord in the boat. It's another thing to worship the Lord standing on the water. It's one thing to worship the Lord in the boat. It's another thing to worship the Lord when you're standing on the water. There's just something thrilling when you understand you're doing something larger than yourself. There's something thrilling when you're part of something that you can't afford. You're part of something you're not smart enough to do. You know you're part of something that's larger. Sure, as a believer, I can sit in my boat and say, good job, God. And I'm going to worship you for what you have done. But in reality, there is nothing like worshiping the Lord when you're standing on that water and you know if God doesn't come through, you're going down. So let me put it this way. It's one thing to come to church, sit out here, sing the songs, and come and worship on a Sunday. But have you ever had the experience where God just did something marvelous in your life and you weren't in the church? And you went outside somewhere and you dropped down on your knees and you lifted up your hands and you just said, I worship the true and living God. If you've ever had that experience, say amen to that. There's worship in the boat, and then there's worship on the water. And when you're worshiping on the water, it's totally different than worshiping within the security of that boat. And let me say one other thing. Normally, it's the folks that learn how to walk on the water that have everything the people in the boat think they have. Oh, that's great. I've said that a lot today. The messages must have been great. I'm going to go home and listen to them. It's the people walking on the water that truly have what everybody in the boat thinks they have. It's those folks that have gone through the storm that have the greatest peace. See, I don't get out of the boat because I think I'm at peace, but in reality, I don't even have a clue what true peace is until I'm totally trusting upon the Lord. It's those people in the boat that think that they're safe, but in reality, you don't know safety and security until you're scared out of your mind, but you have the peace of God's word to comfort you. It's those people in the boat that just kind of look at and say, there's just no way that God can do this. But the people that have walked through the depths and you have found there's not anything that God cannot do. Man, you talk about worship springing from the depth of your soul. And this goes to the overall culture of what churches are doing. Churches are all faced with trying to find a worship style, right? And really and truthfully, we're trying to find a worship style that keeps, now don't hate me for this, that keeps people in the boat attentioned, concentrated. Well, we're bored with this style, so give us another style. Well, we're bored with this style, so give us another style. Well, we're bored with this style, so give us another style. And so churches are trying to create a worship style to satisfy people that are in the boat. And in reality, when you step out on the water and you follow the Lord, you find that raw worship, it doesn't have a style. It just comes pouring out of your gut. Amen. You can't even stand up. So stupid. We're in the boat, so we got to shimmy for Jesus, you know. We got to do all of this. But in reality, when worship comes and you're overwhelmed by what he has done, you fall flat on your face and you say, thank you, God. We don't have to create a worship style. Let's just get on the water and walk with the Lord. And when you get to him and you walk with him and you get to serve with him, worship will just pour out of your soul. Amen. I don't know when God's coming to call you to go for a walk, but he's coming. And my goal is, in preaching this series to you, is when he calls you, you step out. I promise you, you can trust him. Shall we pray?